Good morning. Good morning, church at Magnolia Baptist. Woohoo! All righty. So, I don't know if I have this right. No lights are coming on. Sorry about that. I don't like distraction. That's a distraction. I might just go with the boop from back in the youth group days, okay? Okay, so I have three things I'd like you to say. My name's Nathan, by the way. I'm not a stranger, but if you don't know me, Nathan. And hello, good morning. If you're a guest today, thanks for coming. If you're in virtual land, hello. May God's grace and mercy and favor be on you. All right, so say this with me. Pray, walk, speak. Pray, walk, speak. All right, one more time. Pray, walk, speak. That is the message today. Let's close in prayer. So, beep. I am dead serious. I don't have the thing, so sorry about that. It's what I'm going to go with, okay? So all the stuff in the Bible is flat out true. I'm one of those people that goes, every word is right and true. 1,500 years of God's work and breathing on the script. You know all the scriptures, right? It's a lot of words in there that talk about it's holy, it's right, don't mess with it. There's this verse, Proverbs 35 and 6. When I was in high school, my youth pastor encouraged me to learn 20 verses at a time, which I went, but I did it. I did it because there was like rewards and stuff, and so I learned 20 verses, 20 verses. And I learned one set of God's word verses, okay, and I've used those my entire life about when I'm doubting God's word or anything else. I'm like, hey, let me go back to those, which I know. So this one is scary. This guy from Proverbs, who is this guy? Solomon, and this guy made it in the Bible, and he actually wrote a bunch of stuff. And in this verse right here, it says, every word of God is pure, tried and tested. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Do not mess with God's word. Don't add to it, or he will find you out to be a liar. Like, bad news, right? So, Solomon, in 1 Kings 3, that passage, God told him, you will be the wisest man of all time. No one before you and no one after you will be wiser. You're the wisest of all time. And I'm like, what? Because what if God told you or me something like that? Hey, you're just kind of a person. You're going to be this, right? And we know about Solomon. A lot of wives, this and that. We go, how could we even go, that is a good word from him? So in 1 Kings 3, it says that he made a deal with Pharaoh to marry his daughter. It also said that because of that, he goes, I'm going to go to your church because I'm building my church, the temple. Let's go to your church right now. And so he got involved, and they started worshiping at high places. And so it says how Solomon went to the most important high place, idol worship, basically. And at that time, God came to him. Hey, Solomon. And if you're Solomon, making a deal with Pharaoh to marry his daughter, and then at a high place, and God goes, hey, man, what can I do for you today? You would probably pass out. Or you would, so this is my impression of the story. Solomon goes, wisdom. I'd like wisdom. That's what I'd like, Lord, because I'm a child and I know nothing. My father David, blah, blah, blah. I'd like wisdom. And so God, instead of going, that's a lie. You just said that because I came to you. God says, you know what, Solomon? Because you didn't ask for power and wealth and all the other stuff you could have asked for, kill your enemies, I'm going to give you wisdom. And not only that, you're going to be the wisest man of all time. No one before you, nobody after you. You're going to be the wisest man of all time. And I'm going to give you money, wealth, fame, all that stuff. Have a great day. So I don't know how Solomon saw himself. After that, how would you see yourself? God gave me this. He loves me. Like, unbelievable. So that's that guy, the wisest man of all time, said, every word of God is pure and true. Don't add to it or bad news, right? So when we come to the word, we're looking at every word. We're looking at what it says, what the context is. We're looking at all kinds of stuff that's going on, not just that word, right? It's all pure, true, and right. Unbelievable. Beep. So, pray, walk, speak. That's our three words today. I think you know them by now. Pray, walk, speak. So pray. Walk wisely, speak graciously. So I was going to say this at the end, but I'm going to say it now. God's given me the gift of intuition, vision. I can see stuff. It's really a harsh thing to have because people don't see it. And then you work hard to get there and then still don't see it. And it's just, you have many gifts and talents, all of you. This is one of mine. So when I had this message and I asked the Lord about it, he gave me some stuff to think about. And so I'm going to give you some of that without just stopping and saying, this is from the Lord. He gave it to me. So one thing that came to me when I was thinking about this was this. Have you come to a challenging situation, maybe what you believe to be a dead end, a situation that creates a sense of helplessness or hopelessness? Nothing could change or solve your dilemma. I talked to health people in health situation this week. I wrote this weeks ago, but a dilemma, a dead end, like what's going to happen? You can't do this life alone. You need God's help. You can't do this life alone. You need the help of others who love you and support you. You can't do this life alone. You need the help of a church community. So, boop. I have a buddy named Joanna. She's sitting down here. My best friend, my lifelong companion, confidant, counselor, mentor, like I could say lots of things. Very grateful, and we're going to celebrate 38 years this year. 38, right? Yeah. I heard somebody speak one time, they did that, and their wife goes, no, 37, or whatever. And they're like, what? And they go, one didn't count, because I'm not counting that one. Anyway, so we need a buddy, a friend, a confidant, right? Boop. Because when we hit that dead end, that challenging situation, that dilemma, that sense of hopelessness, it's more than us. It has to be God. And you've seen this, where God's working in your own life, your life, and you're like, wow, that was a miracle. I can't believe God did that. That's great. And then you tell your friend, your buddy that's walking with you, right? Look what God did. This is great. This is a miracle. I'm better off now. I'm not the same. Passion and interest. And you've been the second party or third party looking at somebody who God did something in, and they're with somebody else, and they're celebrating what God did, right? You can do that yourself, and you can look at somebody else, right, and be, woohoo, look what God did. You got that? We do both of those. So there's me and myself. There's me and a buddy, and then there's a community of faith like this. I can tell you, and you can tell me so many stories if you've been here, about this community of faith and about how unbelievably great it is, not the stuff life gave you, because that's, but the greatness of someone walking alongside you, a group walking with you, and them being in it with you, walking life with you, right? Right? Decades of that here. Boop. I already said this. So, you need God's help. And that means he loved you, he made you, he died for you, he offered salvation to you. What Leslie said, if you accept him, he gives you the Spirit and promises and all kinds of things, deliverances and things that you can't live without. Every day, multiple times a day. So you need God's help. And then you need that friend, that buddy that's coming alongside you saying, hey, Nathan, we forgot. You need God's help. Oh, yeah. maybe I should pray first and then ask around second, right? So your friend and your discipler, it could be the same person, is helping you also. You need their help. And then you need others to know. And you know, we did that today with Linda Frazier. She's in the hospital. She needs our prayers and support. And you know what? I know that one mention, second mention now, people are going to leave here and pray like mad for her. It's going to help her. So can I pray for us? Boop. I'm going to pray for us. This might sound like a song, to you, but I'm actually going to say, let's pray. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Because nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me to know you are near. You're all we want. You're all we ever needed. You're all we want. Help us draw near to you. Amen. Sometimes we sing things like a song, not a prayer. It's better just to pray instead of sing, because nothing against any musicians, but sometimes all this other stuff can be distracting. And we're not praying the song or the prayer, right? We're just caught up in the music or whatever else. Boop. So the last time I was up here, it was Colossians also, and I've told you that these are emphatic statements. These are commands, like no choice here, just do this. And so we heard Valerie read the scriptures, and we know these scriptures. I'm going to just read this again. This is Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. This is no subject here. It's you, all y'all. Do it. I'm not going to go into that, but every time it's an emphatic verb is that. Do it now. Do it. Don't forget. It's not an option. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us also, that God may open us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Pray that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak with what I ought to speak. Boop. So in your bulletin today, you have the notes, and it has one blank. So besides number one, you need help. Mention that. Number two, pray. This is an imperative. And Paul's saying to us, pray. And then, pray for me. And then he gives some stuff to pray for out of his life right then. He's actually in prison. Bummer. Dilemma, dead end. So I'm going to give you 10 seconds. If you were telling me this emphatically, pray. Pray for me. Pray for us. What would you say? If I just went, name, what should I pray for? I'm serious. Think of something. I'm not going to have you come up here. I'm not going to come out there with the microphone. But what would you say? Pray for me. All right, God, give them stuff. Please. So, secondly, first imperative, pray. Pray for me. If you want to pray for me, I put JMH up there. I'm strapped in leading this organization. 25 years ago, I had a vision and dream. It's all come true, except a whole community center, and a church. And I'm afraid to think about both of those, but that's what you could pray for me, and God knows about it. Lord JMH and Nathan. That's mine, okay? Also, in your bulletin today, boop, is a little thing that says extras that I included there, because when we look at the scripture, man, every word matters. Everything pertains, like it's really deep and wide. Pastor Mike mentioned last week a prof he had at Biola, Curtis Mitchell, Dr. Curtis Mitchell. I had that prof too. That brought back memories to me. And this is one thing I remember that prof saying. There's so many things in the Bible I don't understand. Those don't bother me. The things in the Bible I do understand, those are what bothers me. Because there's no unclearness about do this. You can't go, oh, well, I didn't understand, I don't know, I'm not sure. You have to go, oh, I'm supposed to do that, and it's a command, right? So this list, I'm not going to go into much, but it does show up in our text today multiple times. Hello, I'm God, and this is what I want. This is my will, right? This is God's will, salvation in Peter. This is God's will that you be spirit-filled. This is God's will that you're sanctified or holy. This is God's will that you're submissive. Okay, these are very clear. This is pointed, I am God, these are my wills for you. So if you ever go, I don't know what the will of God is, I'm not sure what to do right now, there's eight things you do know, for sure. So that's why I'm giving you that. But prayer's one of these. Say prayers. This is God's will. Boop. So the next imperative in our text. Third, walk wisely. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. So that word walk, it is a Greek word. It means walk around. So if you take it literally, it can mean walk around, physically walk around. And there's figurative stuff in the Bible, and there's literal stuff. If you take it figuratively, it means the way you live, how you live, what you do, how you are, all around how you are. And that's the word here, is peripateo, walk around, live in such a way. Circumspect is a good word, the King James uses that. It means turn in a circle and know everything that's going on. Did something happen back here? Maybe? I kind of felt like maybe something happened back there, but I didn't know. And I don't like distractions, right? Like this. Boop. So there's stuff in the Bible that says, look in every direction and be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. That's what our text said today. This is a different text, though. Don't be unwise, but make the most out of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. This is the filled with the Spirit one. This is what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit, no doubt. Okay? So, hey, Jake. So I'm tempted to say this. Jake, what are you doing? Oh. I'm tempted to say, Jake, what are you doing? Didn't you really know I'm up here talking and that might be distracting? And let me try that again. Okay. Hey, Jake, how's it going today?
Good.
Hey, there must be something really important, and I hope it works out. Let's see, peripateo, walk in such a way, be circumspect, know what's going on all around you. The peripateo word, it's really focused on outsiders. It says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the most out of every opportunity. Now, Jake's an insider. He's my family. He's my brother. He's in the family of faith. Of course, there's a lot of stuff about an insider. This word is about an outsider. So be careful. Like, don't hit stuff and go, what are you doing? That's my nature to say that. But then might say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Is there some reason that, you know, there's different ways to say stuff. I am so not calm, collected. You think I am, but I'm not. Ask my wife and people that work with me. Okay, so you got that. Walk wisely, especially with outsiders. Look around. Be wise. Boop. I ran into this one a little bit with the drummer just now. Let your speech always be gracious. Gracious. That word charis, if you know people named charis, it's a Greek word for grace. That's this word. Let your speech, what you say, be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. The way this is written, actually the construction of it means before things come out of your mouth, before they come out of your mouth, put graciousness on them and season them with flavor and good stuff that people might go, wow, that was kind and loving. The gracious part, kind and loving, that's what it means. Kindness, graciousness, gentleness, charis. And then salt is, wow, that sounded good, felt good. That was like a hug. Even though they went, you did the wrong thing. Maybe, I don't know, you know. That's the challenge here, is speak graciously. Before it comes out of your mouth, put salt and flavor on it and kindness. Boop. So there's another verse I love in James. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Not just my dear brothers and sisters. This is a, take note of this. Listen. Be quick. Well, everyone, you're not left out of that, right? Everyone. And I put should there because this is an emphatic verb too. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. And slow to become angry. So it's really about listening and then processing and then carefully with salt and kindness speak. Boop. So there's, this is an extra two. There's four voices that I wrestle with. Who is this? Is this God's voice? Is this my voice? Because I tell myself stuff. Nathan, you should do this. This sounds good. Woohoo! And then, oh, maybe not, maybe not. Probably not. God, was that your voice? No. And a lot of times I'm like, Joanne, how does this sound? Or Dave, how does this sound? Or different people that help me. How does this sound? I don't know. But is that God's voice? Or is that my voice? Or is that somebody else saying this to me? And their voice could be God's voice, too. Could. We know this. And then there's Satan's voice, and we know this about Satan. He garnishes himself or promotes himself to be an angel of light. Very tricky, sneaky. He can be giving you 99% truth to choke you on 1% error. That's how smart he is. But it could be the devil's voice, too. Which voice is it? That's a tricky one. So I guess I give you that. When you're speaking graciously, I want to be God's voice. I really do. All the time. I could be. Except I get myself in the way, and I get other things that are distracting and tempting in the way. All right, in a nutshell today, very simply said, basically, just without saying too much, I was going to close here about 20 minutes ago. I was. Help. Help. I need help. Four people can help me. Pray. Pray for me. Walk. Speak. All right, so when I had this message come to me, and I don't mean it all mysteriously, I'm just a thinker and plan all that, and I had this message came to me. I saw this, and I heard that song that we're going to sing right now. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. But it's in a song. And I thought to myself that I love this song, Michael Smith, one of my iconic heroes from the past. He did a lot of prayer songs and different things like that. And then he did a lot of big worship things. So this is a prayer in a song that when I was thinking about this, I go, I don't want the song part and the music part to discourage or to distract from the actual prayer part. That makes sense? So I had some things come to my mind. I had things come to mind like, I can see people standing up, singing this prayer, or just saying the prayer like I did earlier. I did say this prayer earlier, the one we're going to say now. I could see someone with a buddy, buddying up, like, remember, you need help, God, you need help, people. I could see someone saying, church, I say this with you, together, all of us. We're saying, draw me close to you, Lord, us, all of us. There's a lot of ways. So I got into that and like, and then I went, just, you know what? I'm going to have the band just play it. What my hope is that you would pray this personally to the Lord. If it helps you to pray this or sing this with buddied up in the way I've described today, your own self and God, you and a buddy, you and a friend, you and a group, then bring the church into it. Maybe if you made this known, not a lot of stuff, but if you just made it known, we would be with you. Draw us close, draw me close to you. So I don't know what I just said, except we're going to close with this song. I'm joking. I know what I said. There's multiple ways you can respond to this message. Help, pray, walk, speak. We're going to close with Draw Me Close by Michael Smith and the band. And if you find it helpful to sing up or pray up with a friend, if it helps you to come up here and kneel and listen, if it helps you to come up here and sing this way, that's scary. Thanks for doing that every week, though. Is this a song or a prayer? Thank you, guys, really, seriously. So I'm just throwing out there, this is a prayer to the Lord from me, and it's a prayer of us to the Lord, and it's by myself or together, and we're going to end with the song/prayer.